From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report for the 9th day of April 2013. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Wayne Nelson at L&M Commodities in New Market, Indiana. Chris Hurt will be here from Purdue University with an update of his version of what's happening in the hog market. He thought profits should return to pork producers later this year, and that still may very well happen, but for a different reason than he first suspected. We'll hear all about some of the crop progress in parts of the Midwest. The official numbers for corn won't be released until next week, but some of the audio reports have begun to come out. We'll hear from Illinois, Minnesota, and Nebraska. We'll talk about the weather forecast with Don Day. Dave Dickey will be here with the news, and we'll hear all about the agricultural energy markets with Stephen Platt during this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report, a production of Illinois Public Media. From the University of Illinois.
Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.
Let's check the numbers on this Tuesday afternoon to see how they settled up in Chicago. Remember, the trading hours have now changed. They open in the overnight at 7 o'clock in the evening, run to 7:45 in the morning, pause Central Time, and then reopen with both the electronic and open outcry at 8:30. Finish up at 1:15, which means we have settlement prices for the afternoon. May contract into soft red winter wheat at 7.08¾ was down 3/4, or rather 3¾ for the day. And July, the harvest month, at 7.14, 3.5 cents lower. From Kansas City, a 7.54 settlement price, up 2 cents. From the corn pit, a settled at 6.44¼ in the May, up 10¾. July at 6.27½, settlement price there, 8 cents higher. September at $5.62¼, up 11. And December corn at $5.40¼, 8¼ cents higher. The March contract at $5.50¼, up 7¾. May beans at $13.95½, a settlement price up 17½ cents. July at $13.71¼, up 13¼, and the August at $13.39½, 10¼ higher. September's were a dime higher at $12.80½, and November beans at $12.41¾, up 9½ cents. January at $12.47¾, up 9½. Bean meal at $3.94.80, up $1.50. Bean oil at $49.98. 46 cents higher. June live cattle at 121.70, down to 32½. The May feeders at 144.75 were unchanged, and May lean hogs at 87.30 finished the day unchanged. This is Illinois Public Media. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Crude oil futures May contract $94.19 a barrel. That's 82 cents higher. And May RBOB gasoline, or the wholesale price, at $2.94½ a gallon, up 3⅙ cents. Ethanol at $2.50, that's up 4⅓ cents. And the difference between the two is now 44½ cents. That's just about the same as it was yesterday. Natural gas at $4.27, down 5½ cents. And heating oil at $2.96½ cents. That's diesel fuel. It's up 0.7 cents for the day. Gold futures at $1,586.30 an ounce, $14.20 higher on their settlement price. And the U.S. dollar now 0.44 lower at 82.3. Here's what the weather forecast looks like from the National Weather Service for the Urbana-Champaign area this afternoon. Isolated showers, a few thunderstorms this afternoon. Partly sunny otherwise with a high of 76 degrees. Should be beautiful outside, breezy with a southwest wind at 18 to 20 miles an hour. Gusting all the way to 28 this afternoon. Chance of precipitation set at 60% for this afternoon, and then tonight showers and thunderstorms become likely. That happens mainly after 1 a.m. Central Time. Mostly cloudy in the area, a low of 62 on that southwest wind. Chance of precipitation 60%. Occasional showers and thunderstorms on Wednesday, a high near 74. South-southwest winds at 13 to 18 miles an hour, gusting to 25 tomorrow, an 80% chance of rainfall in the area. That rainfall will continue into tomorrow evening. Some storms could produce heavy rainfall, a low of just 50 degrees on a southwest wind at 16 miles an hour. The chance of precipitation tomorrow night, 90%. That will continue into Thursday. It'll be cloudy then with a 50-degree high and a west wind at 7 to 11 miles an hour. More on the weather forecast when we get to the bottom of the half hour.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Auditory Care Center, an independent hearing care center serving Champaign, Piatt, Ford, Vermilion, and other East Central Illinois counties. Auditory Care Center offers hearing evaluations as well as selection, fitting, and repair of hearing aids at 892-5959 in Rantoul.
It is Tuesday afternoon. Let's take a look at what's been happening in futures markets. Wayne Nelson at L&M Commodities in Newmarket, Indiana is on the phone line. Good afternoon to you, Wayne.
Why, good afternoon, Todd.
Tomorrow at 11 o'clock, USDA will release the WASDE numbers in April. That generally doesn't make a whole lot of news, but this time around, everybody's wondering what they'll do with the grain stocks report from March and how that will figure in. What do you think?
Well, you know, that is the big question. Will there be a little more common sense with this group? You know, the trade's expecting the corn ending stocks to jump up near about 812 million bushels. That's up from their current forecast of 632. There's a lot of people feeling it might not even jump over 750, and I think that was sort of seen today by how the corn market traded with the idea that, you know, they just were way off on their feed usage from the last quarter, and that they'd have to maybe adjust that a little bit, Todd.
Well, the adjustment comes, and then there's some news out of China that they think they might have record imports of corn. Is that right?
Yeah, you know, I mean, we've seen some importing of wheat. We've seen some more importing of corn, and there's talk that they stored some of their corn outside in some of their reserves, and that's, of course, having a mold problem, and they're going to need some other good corn to blend that off with and move it around later as they go along. So that's also a little bit of a positive attitude there. But, you know, as we look at it, our corn export numbers have just been, as far as old crop stuff, terrible.
Anybody moving in your area with planters yet?
Planters, no. Anhydrous tanks, fertilizer, and a few field cultivators, yes. But you can't believe how much anhydrous has went on here since last Thursday afternoon.
Well, I bet it's been moving quickly. And after the rainfall comes through, I suppose it'll start tomorrow sometime, that we'll get them in earnest in the field planting corn. And by the time we get to the next week and the following week, we'll have some real updates of the crop progress reports.
Yeah, we didn't get, you know, that update here. Of course, we hadn't started here in Illinois and Indiana hardly to worry about anything. But I would imagine by the end of, not the end of this week, but the end of next week, that we could see a fair amount of corn in the ground, weather permitting.
Yeah, we'll hear some of those audio reports later. The national report for corn planting should be released potentially next week, although USDA is vague on that, depending on what they see in terms of how many people are moving in the field, I think, more than anything else. What happened in the soybean market for the day?
Well, you know, we popped up today. I think that, number one, we really took the bean market down on the news of the avian, the different strain of the bird flu, the people that had died of that, and what degree the infection was in China. They were on vacation or on holiday of some sort last week, and, you know, when they come back in Sunday night and how they've traded for the rest of this week, doesn't show the same amount of concern that the American traders had, and it seems to be getting under wraps or staying somewhat close over there. So, you know, that basically added a little bit of confidence back. The crush margins are very good. The processor paying 40 to 55 over for beans, and the cash market just strengthened the bean market.
And finally, before I let you go, your best advice, producers, before heading into that WASDE report tomorrow morning. They have until 11 o'clock to take any positions on or off.
You know, if you've got hedges on, we're going to leave them on. If you don't, we're going to wait and see what that report says, because we think the surprise, if anything, is going to be just a little bit friendly. But I'll tell you what, Todd, the advice I'm going to have is not before the report, but it's after the report. If we can get a real nice bounce, we might stick a few hedges on.
All right. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Todd.
Wayne Nelson is with L&M Commodities out of Newmarket, Indiana. He joins us here on the Closing Market Report on this Tuesday afternoon.
Leonard Seed Service supports agricultural programming on WILL as an additional service to its customers. Leonard Seed Service is an independent dealer providing DeKalb and Asgrow seed products to farmers throughout East Central Illinois via the Asgrow on-demand bulk soybean handling system. Leonard Seed Service, 217-497-2270.
Well, the crop progress reports from the Midwest have come out, and while we don't have a national crop progress and condition table for corn, we do have some from the individual states in the form of our weekly audio files. We'll hear this week from Minnesota and Nebraska and Illinois.
This is Mark Schleusener, state statistician for Illinois with the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service. Last week was cool and dry across Illinois. Temperatures averaged 3 degrees below normal, and precipitation was more than 1/2 inch below the average for this week. Topsoil moisture is generally adequate to surplus around the state. Overall, 1% of cropland is rated as having very short topsoil moisture. Pastures and winter wheat are breaking dormancy and beginning to green up around the prairie state. Producers are doing very little planting at this time, but we have received some reports of corn planting. Crop condition reports show the winter wheat crop as 1% very poor, 4% poor, 23% fair, 62% good, and 10% excellent. This has been Mark Schleusener with the Illinois Field Office of the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service in Springfield.
This is Scott Kelly with USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service, the Nebraska Field Office, with the Crop Progress Report for the week ending April 7th, 2013. Above normal temperatures across much of the state last week encouraged green up of winter wheat. However, the soil moisture supplies are short and pastures showed little growth, with producers concerned about declining forage supplies. Statewide, topsoil moisture supplies rated short or very short in nearly 80% of the state, and subsoil moisture supplies rated short or very short in nearly 95% of Nebraska. Looking at the small grains, winter wheat conditions rated 18% very poor, 33% poor, 38% fair, 10% good, and 1% excellent. This is Scott Kelly with USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service, the Nebraska Field Office in Lincoln.
This is Dan Loftus, state statistician for the USDA NAS Minnesota Field Office, with the weekly crop weather report for the week ending April 7, 2013. It was a cold start to the month of April. It also continues to be very dry across the state. These conditions have limited field work compared to last year. The lingering heavy snow is slowly melting across the northern parts of the state, and many of the grassy areas in other parts are still brown. Producers anticipate full-scale field work to begin on April 26th. Topsoil moisture supplies rated 10% very short, 30% short, 47% adequate, and 13% surplus. For the USDA NAS Minnesota Field Office, this is Dan Loftus.
Our thanks go to the state statisticians for their first audio updates of crop progress across their regions of the Midwest. In just a moment, Dave Dickey will be here with today's Ag News.
Support comes from Stuart Peterson, since 1985 offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. Stuart Peterson develops strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information at stuart-peterson.com.
In agricultural news, USDA Secretary Tom Vilsack weighed in on the growing debate about immigration legalization yesterday by stressing that fixing the immigration system is critical for America's food supply. There are heightened expectations that members of the U.S. Senate could unveil an immigration bill that would create a legalization process for the estimated 11 million or so people now in the country illegally. That bill also would create a new guest worker program for a variety of industries, ranging from skilled workers to manual laborers. Vilsack noted that anywhere from 500,000 to 700,000 farm workers could be in the country illegally. Cargill Incorporated's fiscal third quarter earnings fell 42% as severe U.S. drought hurt meat processing margins and its grain handling business. Cargill, one of the world's largest privately held companies, does not break down specific results in its business, but said net earnings fell in 4 of its 5 business segments. The only segment to report improved earnings from a year ago was its industrial segment, which includes salt mining and sales. For the quarter ending February 28th, Cargill reported earnings of $445 million. A China government think tank says that China's 2012-13 soybean imports may fall for the first time in 9 years, as bird flu worries and weak pork prices will likely reduce demand for animal feed. Soybean imports in the year ending September 30th are expected at 59 million metric tons, compared with actual imports of 59.24 million metric tons in 2011-12. USDA says that China will import 63 million metric tons. Port congestion in Brazil delayed some soybean shipments to China, with first quarter soybean imports expected to reach 11.48 million metric tons, down from last year's 13.27 million metric tons. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming for Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world. Up next, this week, a Purdue University agricultural economist explained profits could return soon for the hog industry. But as you'll hear, the change in financial fate is not related to higher prices for pork. Earlier this year, Purdue University ag economist Chris Hurt predicted profits would return to the pork industry. He thought, at the time, those increases would be driven by higher prices for hogs. Well, admittedly, he says, he thought wrong. Here's Chris Hurt.
As a new college graduate, my first job was with one of the major grain companies, and of course, they took many market positions. Some of the executives in that company had a phrase that really said a lot, and that is, "You know, it's amazing how often we are right about the market, but for entirely wrong reasons." Well, my previous statements that hog production could get back to profitability this spring had been based on an expected spring hog price rally. However, the prospects for that rally really dimmed in February and March with the reality that pork exports were going to be headed downward. Now, the prospects for a return to profitability this spring have brightened once again, but due to an entirely different reason, and that's because of much lower feed prices.
Enter USDA and the March Grain Stocks Report. It showed a larger supply of corn and soybeans on hand than anyone had expected.
Inventories of both corn and soybeans, of course, were much higher than was anticipated, and that seemingly indicates that greater supplies of both corn and soybean meal are going to be available for the rest of this marketing year.
Consequently, the lower prices in place in early April sharply reduced the anticipated feed costs for the spring and summer months, says Hurt.
Estimated costs for farrow to finish production had been around $70 per live hundredweight in the first and second quarter this year. Now my estimate for second quarter cost have fallen to about $65.50, that's down from $70, and to around $63 per hundredweight for the third quarter.
It was the third quarter of this year that Chris Hurt had at one time projected the price of hogs would be high enough to provide a profit. The last three quarters, by the way, hog producers have operated at a $26 per head loss. The third quarter is still the target for a return to profits, but April, May, and June, the second quarter, look to be at least break-even months.
And for the third quarter, we should see a profit of about $8 a head, which certainly would be the first profits for a while.
Those profits could stick around through the summer of 2014, but producer Chris Hurt says his confidence in that forecast is like skating on thin ice. Here are some reasons it might not come to pass. The export market to Japan could continue to decline. The price of feed could rise dramatically again, say, should USDA adjust the stocks lower again in June or do something tomorrow on the WASDA report. And then naturally there's the weather and the prospects for the 2013 growing season harvest. If you'd like to read more from Chris Hurt or listen to his podcast from the Farm Doc Daily website, you can do so. I've already posted it into willag.org.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Let's check now the cash or ag energy markets. On the phone line with us for Tuesday is Stephen Platt. He's at Archer Financial Services in Chicago, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Stephen.
Good afternoon, Todd.
What do you see in the ag energy markets at this time?
Well, today we've seen some strength come into the market in terms of the crude oil being up close to 80 cents. The gasoline also coming back from some pretty sharp declines, up 3.5 cents, and heat or diesel would be up maybe a penny. What we've seen here since my last report last month is a pretty two-tiered market. The crude oil really has not done a lot. It broke about a dollar. But you have seen a lot of pressure on the gasoline and the product markets as you start to see some of these refineries come back online following some of their maintenance. The gas crack moved down as much as $12 during that time period of a month. So, you know, similar to that dollar move in the crude, gasoline fell as much as $12 per barrel on an equivalent basis to that crude, at least the gas crack, which is the margin itself or the spread between gasoline and crude oil. So we've seen some pretty dramatic moves, but more on a spread basis. Certainly the market has been watching the economy. I think there's still a lot of trepidation on how strong the economy will be following the jobs report, but that's being offset by some of the strength in equities and some of the stimulus moves that we've seen. That certainly has helped provide some support to the crude, but not necessarily the products. I think overall we're still in a kind of surplus situation. To me, there's less upside potential in these markets than downside. We're looking at a supply-demand situation, which is pointing to crude supplies basically outpacing demand by as much as 1 million to 1.5 million barrels per day this year. I think that will eventually weigh on values, and it should come during the second quarter when demand is the weakest.
It's interesting because, generally speaking, we would think that second quarter demand should be fairly strong and that this is a, what, counter-seasonal move? Is that right?
Well, no, you're starting to move into the spring when people start pulling back on their heating needs and not really going into the air conditioning or and things like that. So some of those needs and driving is not necessarily as strong as it is during the summer when people go to the shore and things like that. So you're basically looking at a weaker demand period during the second quarter than what it is in either the first, which benefits from the winter weather, but also the third quarter during the summer when people are on the highways.
Are you
for vacations.
Right. Are your expectations then for June, July, and August for the market to turn around the other direction?
Not necessarily. You still have a seasonal or at least the parents that demand is going to fall short of supplies. And in this country, we are moving toward a surplus energy situation. But on the other hand, you know, when you look at the corn price and in terms of crude oil and things like that, you are seeing some ground being lost. So be careful out there in terms of protecting your costs.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Stephen Platt is with Archer Financial Services. He's in Chicago, Illinois. He joins us here on the Closing Market Report on a Tuesday afternoon. Back in 2 minutes with today's Ag Weather.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. For over 96 years, generations of farmers have turned to Farm Credit for their financial needs. Whether a young farmer or a seasoned grower, Farm Credit offers products and service geared specifically to the agricultural community.
It's National Chinese Almond Cookie Day. On this day in agricultural history in 1682, Robert de La Salle discovered the mouth of the Mississippi River and claimed the whole Mississippi Basin for France. He named it Louisiana in honor of Louis XIV of France. LaSalle returned to the New World 2 years later with intent to establish a French colony on the Gulf of Mexico at the mouth of the Mississippi. But the expedition was plagued by pirates and poor navigation, landing on what today is Victoria, Texas. LaSalle never saw the Mississippi again. Three attempts to find it on foot failed, and LaSalle was eventually murdered by one of just 36 colonists remaining from the original 300 making the trip. In 1850, William Prout died, an English chemist. He was the first to classify food components into three main divisions: carbohydrates, fats, and proteins. In 1872, Samuel R. Percy of New York received a patent for dried milk. In 1894, R.H. Gray received a patent for a baling press. And in 1922, Sir Patrick Manson died. Manson co-founded a dairy farm in 1886 in Hong Kong, which looked to improve health by supplying cows milk free of contamination by means of stringent hygiene. And that's this day in agricultural history.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report on a Tuesday afternoon. I'm Todd Gleason, Don Day of Day Weather on the phone line. Don, I hear it's really cold out where you are, and while I'm concerned about that, I'm more concerned about whether it'll be really cold here or not. Tell me about the weather forecast.
Well, certainly the cold weather that's moved into the northern plain states and the east slopes of the Rockies is going to have some impact as the colder air gets pushed east later on this week and into the weekend. Any really big, significant warm-up, any spring warmth folks are wanting, it's going to be very hard to get, as it looks like most of the nation's midsection will average below normal temperatures over the next week.
And how far below?
Well, the coldest air will be centered over the Dakotas, Minnesota, Nebraska. We're looking at temperatures there that will be as much as 10 degrees below normal. Now, as you go a little further east, the air will modify some, so Illinois, Iowa, Missouri will see below normal temperatures, but as you get into Indiana, Ohio, the eastern Corn Belt will be a lot closer to normal. So it'll be those western areas that stay cool. Now, one benefit is where it's cold, they are getting rain and snow, and these cool temperatures will keep evaporation rates down. So those areas that are dry are going to be able to keep some of that moisture.
Let's talk a little bit about the rainfall that has fallen and what will come. I watched some of the storms make their way. I thought they were going to come through here. They did not. Make their way northward through parts of Nebraska, Iowa, Minnesota, and on into Wisconsin over the last couple of days. How much rainfall did they get, and what's yet to fall across the Midwest?
Well, many areas, a half inch to upwards to an inch and a half of precipitation that came in the form of both rain and snow. There'll be some more here over the next 24 hours in the Dakotas and portions of Nebraska, Iowa, and Minnesota. Some areas of South Dakota and some areas of Nebraska just received the best precipitation they've seen in weeks with this recent storm. So good news for those folks. And as we get into as early as Thursday, Wednesday night into Thursday, there will be a line of showers and thunderstorms moving through the Corn Belt, so there is some precipitation for the Midwest coming.
Have you been watching other parts of the world? I'm thinking in particular of China and the weather forecast there. They have the second largest corn crop in the planet yet to be put into the ground.
Yep, and they are a little cooler than normal as well. While not as cold as the United States, there are still some areas of eastern Asia, China, that are going to be looking at colder than normal temperatures and some pretty good chances for some spring precipitation. So similar to the U.S., precipitation doesn't look bad, but a little bit on the cool side.
That's Don Day with Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report for a Tuesday afternoon. Be sure to visit our website tomorrow. Remember, USDA at 11 a.m. Central Time will update the WASD, our World Agricultural Supply and Demand Estimates. If you haven't already received a newsletter from Dave Dickey, you can go and sign up for that at willag.org. You won't get the newsletter, but you'll be able to get them in the future as he sends those out out the day before. If you've got the link already, remember, Dave will be updating it as the numbers come out. The numbers, again, are released at 11 a.m. tomorrow, and Dave will be on the air not long after that, talking with Jackie Vakes of Stuart Peterson about those numbers. The WASDE report, WASDE, World Agricultural Supply and Demand Estimates on a Wednesday, from willag.org. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason.